delving deep into the heart of globalist plans. It's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're into the third hour here of the InfoWars War Room. And you just heard about an hour there from President Trump at a press conference with a big announcement from Apple, and then kind of getting into some economic news there as well, but then taking questions from the press, so it got a little bit wide-ranging. Overall, I'd say a good press conference, directionally right, with some hiccups here and there, but I suppose I get it. Trump trying to build confidence, even if it's saying something that might not be totally true. But we're going to move on from that. We're about to get into a big issue with Taylor Lorenz, who's been on before. And, I mean, I guess I would argue that, I guess I would say that maybe she was right about this. It wasn't that we were even having a debate, but she's really been covering the issue about AI being rolled out and what it means for the internet. And where I was kind of like, well, you know, I think it's just for the adult content. She said, no, it's going to get worse. Well, she's kind of been proven right. Specifically if we're talking about what is going on in the UK right now. So we'll be joined by her in a second. Folks, remember, the VIP sale is still live right now at thealexjonesstore.com, but it's only for VIPs. But you can become a member and take advantage of this sale right now. Just go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, and you can get immediate access to this sale. Buy one, get one free on all health supplements. Buy one, get one free on all apparel as well. All you got to do is become a VIP member. We thank our VIP members. It's your support there that keep us on the air. So take advantage of that. It will come to an end, I'm told, tomorrow. I'm told tomorrow is the final day to take advantage of that. All right. Before we do bring the guest on, a couple other things to cover here. You heard President Trump mention this at the outset of that press conference. Five soldiers shot at Fort Stewart in Georgia. Shooter is in custody. They have identified the shooter. He is in custody. You also had this situation that I didn't really hear about, but the crew brought me the headline. Another armed civilian saves the day. Oh, well, maybe that's why they don't want to cover it. A stabbing at a Michigan Walmart on Saturday was stopped by an armed man, a Marine veteran. Now, this is what's crazy about it. It's like sometimes you make a mistake and then it ends up being for a reason that you didn't even realize. So the Marine veteran who was armed, he went to the shooting range, but he forgot to take his pistol off of his hip. Maybe some other people are familiar with that. You're carrying and you go to the grocery store and then you're like, oh, forgot I had it. The New York Times, Associated Press, Washington Post, NPR, NBC News, and BBC, and many others completely ignored the gun used to stop the attack, but an eyewitness described how others who had tried to stop the attacker were stabbed, but it took the Marine with a gun to stop the attack. The attack was stopped several minutes before the first responders were able to arrive. Yeah, that's always how it goes. One thought is that this hero might get some coverage in the legacy media because he is a black Marine veteran while the attacker was a crazed white lunatic. And yet I didn't see this anywhere. When I was doing my news aggregation today, I didn't see it anywhere until the crew brought this to me. But aside from, you know, whatever racial aspects people want to be, there's this kind of idea around an armed civilian or just Americans walking around with guns, and it's like it's like a bad image, and it's like, oh, it's like a fearful thing, and it used to be a norm in America, and actually you had a lot less crime. And so this is an example where, yes, a good guy with a gun is really the only thing that stops a bad guy with the gun, because the first responders are going to take time to get there, okay? And that's just a fact. And if this guy wouldn't have accidentally had his gun on him in that Walmart, thank God he did. Who knows how bad this situation could have gotten. So this is why armed civilians that know how to use their guns, not just lunatics that carry around, but can end up stopping a crime scene from getting much worse. So maybe that's really, though, I think that's probably why they don't want to cover it. Because it goes against the whole, we need to be afraid of good guys with guns. We need to be afraid of civilians with guns. It's training you to think, oh, only a police officer should have a gun. Not me. I can't be trusted. I'm a stupid citizen. That's scary. Actually, you know what? I've decided with Taylor Lorenz, we're going to talk WNBA. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk WNBA. I think she's been going to the games. I think that there's been some news. I think Taylor might be behind this based off the color of her shirt.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, so about a month ago, we had Taylor Lorenz on to talk about a situation developing when it comes to internet regulations and specifically the internet ID laws, where they kind of roll it out. As they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but they roll it out and they say, we need to do something about minors accessing adult content on the internet. So we need this internet ID. We need to pass regulations. We need to pass laws. There's been a little bit of it in the United States, but nothing compared to what has happened in the UK. And now the citizens in the UK are saying, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Well, internet ID to access adult content. Yeah, you know what? That's fair. We can support that. And then it gets rolled out. And what happens? Oh, no, it's for YouTube. It's for Wikipedia. It's for social media. It's for everything. So, Taylor, this was your concern when we talked about a month or so ago, and now it seems like with the UK, they're going to really test this out, and you know a lot of times policies in the UK end up here. So what can you tell us with how this rollout has gone in the UK?
The rollout has gone terribly. It's an absolute disaster. It's what, you know, every single person who cares about free speech, who's been advocating against this stuff, was terrified of. And yeah, I mean, you're seeing everything from SpongeBob SquarePants GIFs be censored to people, adults having to scan their faces to use Spotify. You can't even customize your like NVIDIA GPU chip or whatever, like to fix basically to tweak graphics when you're playing a game, like video game, because you have to present your government ID to do that now. It's obscene. It's horrifying. And I think it's a taste of the type of authoritarianism that is coming to the U.S. if we don't stop it.
Well, you know, like I said, there's a hint of it here, but most, I would say, like, I don't know, 99.9% of Americans obviously are not using a government ID to access adult websites. I don't know if it's expanded anywhere farther than that. Do you know what is...
Owen... It is expanding rapidly here. We just had the Supreme Court uphold age verification for the first time on the internet. 11 states have sought to pass these laws, and more are trying to pass them. We're lucky that there's been some challenges, some legal challenges, but the Kids Online Safety Act right now is in Congress. They could act on it at any point. It's very close to happening here. This is something that both the Democrats and Republicans have been aligned on passing in the United States for years now. We should be terrified. I think the U.S., you know, the U.K. is just it's a glimpse into what will be our future if we don't start to fight back.
Well, okay, so they've got this bill being passed, and it's the same premise that we saw in the U.K. But I haven't, I haven't experienced any of this yet. I know they do have them in Texas when it comes to the adult websites. I haven't experienced this yet. So where are they trying to roll this out? Where will Americans, other than, you know, adult content sites, where will Americans maybe first start to get an idea of this?
Well, so this isn't passed yet, right? Like, and by the way, the law was passed in the OSA in the UK was passed back in 2023. So they'll often pass these laws, and then there's a period of time before they roll out again, because it's incredibly expensive and difficult and unwieldy to roll out age verification and force to put that burden on all these platforms. So what they're trying to do right now in America is pass these laws. So we have Ohio, Arizona, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We had Louisiana in 2022 pass that landmark law requiring age verification for all websites that contain 33% adult content, which, again, incredibly subjective term.
Yeah, what does that even mean? 33%? I mean, I log in on the Daily Mail and I got, you know, half-naked chicks on the sidebar. Does that mean everything?
It means everything. I mean, when you think about what adult content is, these incredibly broad, you know, these languages, and they say like harmful content is another one. What is harmful? What is adult? You know, that's why you see stuff like this. Alcoholics Anonymous forums are being shut down. Actually, forums where children can get help if they're victims of sexual abuse or sexual assault are also being shut down, which is actually going to lead to more child exploitation because all of this is adult content. It's absurd. News and information is adult content. And if you don't think that this is bad under Trump, maybe you trust him as president. Imagine until the person that you hate is in office. The Democrats will be back in office at some point. Imagine Hillary Clinton. I don't know. Maybe she comes back from the dead. Like, just imagine the worst
Hillary's
person
Hillary's dead?
Know.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
Politically, well, yeah.
Politically. I'm just saying, imagine what, like, we need to legislate laws where people need to think. Imagine how the worst political leader that I could think of could weaponize this law. Age verification, these laws are censorship laws. We know this. And the Democrats and Republicans, again, have been working together to pass this type of stuff. We're seeing it first on the state level. They're testing it out on the state level because they know basically if they can put these really restrictive state laws into place, you know, we don't have 50 different versions of Facebook and Twitter or whatever for every single state. This platforms will just default to the most restrictive law. So if Utah or Texas or Ohio or New Jersey or New York, you know, passes these laws, like that is already going to sort of pressure the platform. And we're already seeing censorship in Texas. But it's devastating. And it's going to happen gradually too in America, I think, because of the state system. I don't know. We'll see if COSA passes anytime soon. But the time to fight these laws is now before they have passed. Once we see what happens in the UK, it's going to be too late. They're not, the government never dismantles surveillance infrastructure once they've rolled it out.
Well, and of course, this even goes beyond this when we start to talk about the entire AI grid that's being set up for surveillance. But I suppose that's, you know, maybe that's down the road. You know, here when I hear this,
it's all interconnected.
It will be for sure. When I hear this and I think about this, I say, okay, well, was there a problem here? Right? I mean, what? Was there a problem that we're trying to address? Like, was there a big issue with kids on the internet? Because, I mean, I'm sure it was happening, but it's like, I didn't hear any outcry. It's kind of like, if I go, when you're a kid, you're 15, 16, whatever, you want to go to the movies, you have to sneak into an R-rated movie, right? They're not going to sell you the ticket. They're going to ask for your ID. So you'd have to sneak in. But it's like, okay, a kid can hop onto Amazon and watch any movie that they want. Nobody's complaining about that, right? I mean, that's the parents' issue if they want to deal with that in a way that they feel fit. So it's like, where does this go? You always have to think. So like, now are you gonna have to have a digital ID to access your streaming platform? Are you gonna have to show a face scan to go watch an R-rated movie in your house?
Yes. Yes, that's what we're already seeing in the UK. Yes, you will have to verify your identity basically everywhere. This is the goal is to make to completely remove anonymity from the web and basically set up all of these age verification systems to tie all of your online behavior to your offline identity. And as you mentioned, this is just being fed into this massive surveillance system. Let's not forget that Persona, one of the leading age verification, third-party tools, is a Peter Thiel-backed tool that is, you know, owned by a bunch of Silicon Valley tech billionaires. Like, this is a gift to the worst people in big tech. And I think that if you're worried about big tech surveillance or censorship, you should have serious concerns. Also, again, just civil liberties. We should have the right to anonymously use the internet. You know, I don't want the government peering over my shoulder, knowing every single song I listen to on Spotify or every single article I read on Wikipedia, because that data can then be used or fed into AI algorithmic systems that to sort of determine, you know, whether you are likely to commit a crime, or they can use it to track you if you do the wrong thing. We all should protect our civil liberties. We never know when the government can come for us. We're seeing authoritarianism. And I want to stress that this is a bipartisan issue. Both the Democrats and Republicans have been pushing this. Aside from Rand Paul, Ron Wyden, and a few people, you know, we've got Richard Blumenthal, Mark Warner, Nancy Pelosi, and then Marsha Blackburn on the Republican side, and lots of people. This is something that all these people in power want. because they want to control speech online. They want to eliminate independent media. They want to eliminate free expression online. And they want to have top-down control where you are fed essentially a stream of government, you know, government-approved messaging, and you cannot dissent.
Yeah, this leads to censorship. And if you think about what we've witnessed in, say, the last 10, maybe 20 years, you used to have four major news networks that could totally control the narrative, totally control what you see, what you don't see. Now with social media, this paradigm has shifted entirely. The networks cannot control what you see. They cannot control a narrative. You know, one of the big issues right now that we see a major fight to try to control the narrative on is what's going on in the Gaza Strip. And so you see IDF people trying to get into all these different social media companies to try to shut down anybody sharing any footage from Gaza. So it's beyond just the IDF trying to stop the journalists from filming. Once the footage gets out, now they're on the back end trying to stop it there, too. Now, I'm a big believer in the free market, meaning I believe the free market can correct some of this stuff. It's not a perfect practice, but it at least allows you the opportunity where I see they keep putting the story. I think you mentioned how in UK, people are deleting their Spotify because they have to show it's like a face scan or something. So what I'm saying is it's like if I have an app that I like to use or if I have a streaming service I like to use and then all of a sudden they're saying we need to see government ID, we need to do a face scan, I'm going to say I don't like this. This is an invasion of privacy. I'm going to cancel my account. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to take my streaming business elsewhere. I'm going to take my social media business elsewhere. But if they sign this bill, then there is no free market anymore.
And it's even less of a free market because these massive tech platforms like Meta, Spotify, it's YouTube, they have the resources to do all of this mass data harvesting and implement these really costly age verification systems. But the penalty for not complying with these age verification systems is quite high. And so it will just eliminate so many small communities on the web, so many independent forums, websites, community groups. Again, like I mentioned, these Alcoholics Anonymous groups, these groups for children seeking, you know, underage kids seeking support for because they're being sexually abused. Those smaller groups, those smaller forums, those smaller indie apps, upstart apps, will not have the money to basically comply with the law. And so this is just another gift to these big tech conglomerates, because they will just have more and more monopoly. And if you're worried about gatekeepers over our information environment, I think it's wonderful that we don't have the information environment that we had in the 90s, where we just had like four, you know, broadcasters or whatever. But we do have I don't know if it's a monopoly, but we certainly have these major tech platforms that do, I think, have outsized control over speech. And we've seen the way they censor, you mentioned Gaza and other things, basically anything that goes against sort of government narratives. And that is happening on Meta still. It's still happening across TikTok. The reason that they were able to get the TikTok ban through was because of the Gaza stuff. Yeah, we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about the old gatekeepers and we need to be concerned about the new gatekeepers. And we need to preserve a free and open internet for everyone. We need people to get involved. No one's fighting back against these laws.
Well, I can already think of parents that might support this and they'll say, well, and really it does to me fall on the parents. If you don't want your kids watching certain stuff, that's the parents' responsibility. And it's like, that's not the government's job to come in here and do that. And you say, oh, well, you know, parenting is so difficult now. Shut up. 1,000 years ago, you had to like protect your kid from getting mauled by an animal or picking up a disease or something. Let's stop acting like that's such a difficult thing to just try to monitor your children's activities on the internet. Like, you know, but I can already hear that. Oh, they're going to use the angle of, oh, it's so hard to the parenting on the internet. Oh my gosh. I can already hear it in my ears when they try to pitch this stuff to the American people. But aside from that, what is the actual process here? I've had people that have tried to come visit me, and they have not been able to get on an airplane because they don't have the new real ID. They're actually mm-hmm. enforcing that now at the airports. Well, okay, good luck. Good luck at the DMV. You're not even going to be able to get your real ID for weeks. So it's like that's something that's like old tech, and we can't even have a fast delivery system on a requirement with a real ID. What is the process like for this digital ID? What hoops do you have to go through to even get the official thing to access this stuff?
Well, it's going to be a patchwork of things. So, you know, there might be some more official things, like they're talking about doing it on the device level. And then some, you know, there's so many different types of proposal. I mentioned Persona. There's all these third-party tools that are going to be like, okay, you sign up for this third-party and this third-party tool. The point is that you're just exposing more and more and more and more of your data to systems that undeniably will not be able to keep that data safe. We know that this data gets hacked, it's stolen. You know, if you're worried about foreign governments taking our data, like that, they're going to have unlimited access to it, basically, because these are not going to be secure systems. And you are going to be at high risk for identity theft, all that stuff. You know, you mentioned the airport, and airports, I made a video about this recently, have become really draconian around speech. Like, we're seeing people stopped at the border for speech. Obviously, you've got to scan your face now. Most people don't realize that you can opt out. 93% of people don't ever even ask to opt out when you're going through, you know, the check. You don't have to scan your face if you don't want to. You can still give them your ID. A lot of Congress people have tried to make that impossible. So I just encourage people to express their civil liberties and stand up for themselves. But yeah, it we'll see kind of how it manifests, but it's going to be this messy patchwork of different verification methods, like face scanning, biometric data, importing your driver's license, all of this. For kids that don't have driver's license, they'll probably have to prove it otherwise. We're already seeing disasters, by the way, where people with face tattoos, you know, it's messing up. The AI systems aren't accurately able to guess people's ages because, again, like, some people look really young at 30. Some people look really old at 30. No one looks like, there's no standard way that like a 16-year-old looks different than a 19-year-old necessarily. And so it's just, or a 17-year-old looks, you know, remarkably different from an 18-year-old. So it's, the whole thing is just going to be a complete mess. And I just want to say one thing too about what you said about parents. I think what parents need to know is that none of this is going to keep your kids safer. Kids, we know kids, they're very tech savvy, okay? If your kid wants to access porn, they're going to find a way to do that. We know this happens. What they will likely do is download some sort of VPN or honestly end up in very dark, dark corners of like the dark web or whatever that refuse to, you know, abide by these laws that are based outside the America, who knows, but it's going to lead to even more like dangerous corners of the internet. Then none of this is going to protect them.
Yeah. See, that's why I just look at the free market and there's kind of been other things like this where cell phone companies will come up with new creative ways where you can give a kid a cell phone, but it's very limited. You know, you can only make a call to certain numbers. It doesn't have any apps or anything. It's just, you know, a basic phone that they can have for safety or whatever. I've seen other similar things where they can give a kid like a debit card, but they can earmark it so that they can only spend it at certain places. So that's how the free market can kind of adapt to this stuff. And you can have protocols on the internet or phones if you want to have your kids access that stuff to try to protect them. But yeah, you know, obviously, I mean, we both look very young for our age, Taylor, right? So, you know, that might be we could maybe deceive AI with that issue. So what comes next for Americans? Where do we need to kind of have our antennas up here? And when a new move happens where we can say, okay, this is starting to get into a level of it's time to have a reaction here.
Yeah, well, like I said, fight at the state level and the federal level. So if you are, you can check... oh gosh, I think the Electronic Frontier Foundation has a place where you can check, you know, the different states. But here's what you should do. Call your local representative, call your congressman, call your senator, call your representative in the House and say, listen, I don't want age verification here. I don't want surveillance tech. Do not pass the Kids Online Safety Act. Do not pass these censorship laws. We want to preserve a free and open internet for all. You cannot pass these laws. They are incredibly dangerous. And we need people to start activating. There's FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Freedom, which is a great organization, bipartisan. They're nonpartisan, rather. They back people on all sides of the political spectrum. They've been doing great work. You can donate to organizations like that or the EFF. But I think call your representatives. Call your representatives and make your voices heard and tell them to stand up for free speech, stand up for civil liberties. No one on the left or the right is doing this. And we need people to start to get involved. This stuff that's happening in the UK, that is the tip of the iceberg of what could happen here. It's really scary. And we're already, again, seeing these state censorship laws move forward. So I would, you know, if you're in one of those states, there's, like I said, there's 11 different states, you know, that are currently seeking to pass these laws. So, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, New York, Illinois, these are all some of the places that are starting to pass these laws.
Well, when I saw that stuff out of the UK, I sent you the message and I said, hey, let's come on and address this because I know that you've been all over this for years. And so, we can both agree with this, that it's a nonpartisan thing. I think it's a freedom thing. I think it's a freedom thing, and I think it's an issue for the future of humanity. Because, look, I don't like it, but it's just the fact we're going into an AI technological world. There's nothing I can do to stop it. I can bitch and complain and kick and scream. I can become Amish, but that's where it's going. And so we have to consider that that's the future, and these are the parameters, these are the borders that they're trying to set up with us now before we go into that and can really understand what it means. So it's very important stuff for us to remain left, right, anybody that's freedom oriented to remain on top of this. All right, but with the final couple minutes we have left here, I'm gonna loosen up a little bit, cover some other things. I have a sneaking suspicion that you've been attending WNBA games, Taylor, and that you've been lobbying. Purchases that you've made from Rabbi Shmuley's online store with his daughter onto the WNBA court. Can you deny this activity? Have you been seeing this? Is that you?
I don't even know what's happening.
You're not following the WNBA?
I'm not a sports person.
Wow, what kind of feminist are you?
I know.
They can't make any money, Taylor. You're not even watching their games.
What's happening at the games? What are people doing?
So it's a fourth time, actually. I think the WNBA is doing this as a stunt, but that's my conspiracy theory. People are throwing dildos onto WNBA courts now. They're lobbing. Lime green is the color of choice. I don't know what's up with that. So it's, hey, you know what? They're finally having fun. People are finally talking about the WNBA. So there you go. That's not yours?
People don't throw more things onto the court in regular basketball games because people are
Americans
just
aren't that uncouth.
I don't know. People are crazy. Have you been to a concert lately? People throw shit on the stage all the time.
Yeah, but that's kind of fun. That's like 90s when it used to be cool to do that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
now they give you like a little paper cup and they tell you so you can't throw stuff at and that's fine. We want to protect people's safety. No, I just think it's funny that the WNBA, it's like no matter how hard they try to be a serious organization, the harder they try to be serious, the bigger of a joke it becomes. I think they should lean into it.
Though. Caitlin, they should lean. Well, first of all, I guess maybe as a publicity stunt, but there's some good, was it Angel Reese? Isn't she the other one? There's some good female basketball players out there.
No, stop it. No,
I don't watch basketball, but
just proved it with what you just said. Well, Sophie Cunningham is making fun of it. She said a week ago, she said, stop throwing dildos on the court. You're going to hurt one of us. And last night she was literally hit by one. It hit her. She was the one that got hit by it. Funny enough, I think the WNBA is doing this for attention, though. That's what I think. That's my conspiracy theory of the day.
OK, that would be pretty big brain. I don't know, but.
All right, last one for you here. Smoothie King, everybody knows Smoothie King. Smoothie King is releasing a ketchup-flavored smoothie. Are you going to have a ketchup-flavored smoothie?
Okay, there's too much of these custom flavors. I think we need to stop with this because they also rolled out, I saw an ice cream chain rolled out breast milk flavored ice cream this week.
And it's not even real breast milk, damn it.
That is, no, too many flavors. We had chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Let's stick to that. Those are all we need.
I saw that. I saw that they were doing the breast milk and I was like, ooh, real breast milk? And then I found out it wasn't even real breast milk, Taylor. So.
Ugh. Can't even get the organ. Wait, RFK, where is he on this?
I know, not as excited. All right, so no Heinz tomato ketchup smoothie.
That looks disgusting.
I don't know who would line up for that. I really don't. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be me. All right, Taylor, where can people follow you?
Follow my YouTube channel. I have a series every Friday called Free Speech Friday, where I talk about free speech and free expression. Thank you for listening to me. I'm sure there are people that do not agree with me on a lot of things politically, but I hope that we can all agree that, you know, the thing that makes America great is the First Amendment and free expression, the right to free expression, and we have to fight to protect a free and open internet.
Well said.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room. We got a lot of news yet to cover. Let me get into this geopolitical stack first. So you've got a bit of a split here on the Israel issue, and I think, you know, AIPAC is such a, it's going to become a burden politically soon. And it's so overexposed now, and it has such a negative connotation now that there's no going back from it. And they're so out front with it, too, bragging about everything that they do and all the people that they pay off in Congress. So it's kind of like they're leaning into it. Strange tactic. It's not working for them. But the Democrats are trying to at least pretend like they're trying to stop what's going on there. Senate Democrats seek to reimpose sanction on Israel. So they're trying to have sanctions on Israel for what's going on in the Gaza Strip. But it's kind of like this political activity when you know you can't actually get it done because you don't have the numbers. So you pretend like you care for political points, even though you know you're going to fall short, just so you can at least pretend like you had an effort and then you can run on something like that. So it's most likely, maybe it's a mixture of that they do really care, but they also just want to score political please. But no, you had the Republicans, dozens of AIPAC Republicans in Israel, oh yes, being briefed by Netanyahu. Netanyahu briefs visiting members of U.S. Congress on Gaza war. So no, they're not in Qatar. No, they are in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met earlier today with a bipartisan delegation from the United States House Intelligence Committee. The Prime Minister's office says in a statement, I've got the statement right here with all the images of Netanyahu addressing them. Oh, but it wasn't just Netanyahu. Mossad Chief David Bernier and U.S. Congressman Rick Crawford, Josh Guyttenheimer, and Ronnie Jackson were also present at the meeting. So you got Mossad there as well. Huh. Yeah, no big deal. Just got Mossad and Maxwell and Epstein and now AIPAC members going and getting briefed by Mossad. Totally normal stuff. Nothing to see here. Those damn Qataris. Now, it would appear, and I just think it's deductive reasoning, but you have Yosef Janowski at the Israeli Times, who seems to have reached the same conclusion I've reached on why you have this Epstein drip, drip, drip. Now, he's obviously a pro-Israel writer, so he looks at it as a good thing, whereas really if you're an American and you see this stranglehold Israel has, you look at it as a bad thing. But he's obviously celebrating it. He's saying, oh, this is great. Look at how much control America has. It's a short little piece here. Trump, Israel, and the Epstein files. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu in Israel, and now the Epstein files are haunting him. For a long time, the files had subsided in the background. They weren't considered to be much of a threat to Trump. But all of a sudden, right after he started up with Israel, the files surfaced, and they seemed to be overwhelming him. Trump blasted Bibi after shrapnel hit a church in Gaza. Shrapnel. They blew the church up. Give me a break. The church is in a war zone. It was not targeted. Rather, shrapnel from a nearby explosion hit it. Nice. Still, Trump berated Bibi and demanded that he publicly express regret after Israel bombed places in Syria in order to protect the Druze. Administration officials from the White House referred to Bibi as a madman. It seemed that Trump's ambitions are even more important to him than preventing the slaughter of Druze. Actually, that's what you would say about Netanyahu. More important to him than stopping Israeli Druze from crossing into Syria, something that would greatly escalate fighting and bloodshed. Yeah, that's not an American problem. You see, that's the issue. Is this is America. You're talking about Israel and Syria. Last I checked, they are not in America. So, not sure why that should be a Trump issue anyway. Huckabee also chimed in, blasting Israel for withholding visas from evangelical groups. Well, yeah, because he doesn't want to be killed by Israel. It seems that Israel wants to first ensure that the groups don't plan to missionize. Oh, well, you're not allowed to, I guess, missionize Christianity. Oh, that's not what I was told, though. But Huckabee seems incentive to Israel's concerns. I may want to reword that. Trump decided to bomb Iran's nuclear sites, and that's commendable. But reports later surfaced that he rejected the option to bomb for a week's time in order to finish off all the sites. Thus, only Fordo was severely damaged, while other sites only minimal or no damage. So here he is promoting, oh, you didn't really damage them, because of course we know why. And now some old files are threatening him. Perhaps Trump will realize that it really doesn't pay to start up with Israel. Perhaps those implicated in the files will express contrition and regret. Oh, so in other words, Israel has the blackmail on you, so do what Israel wants or else. From the Israeli Times. Not even hiding it, bragging about it. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't AIPAC brag about how they control our Congress? Why wouldn't Israel brag about how they control our foreign policy. Good for them. Embarrassing for us. Sad for us. Pathetic for us. But good for them. And they just rub it in your face. They publish it in the Israeli Times. But I agree. I've been saying it for weeks. They're doing this slow drip, drip, drip because they're trying to get something out of Trump in the Middle East. So maybe it's regime change in Iran. Maybe it's something else. But I think I do think he's holding it off right now. So they're going to continue finding old videos and photos. That's what this all is, folks. They would have done this a long time ago if it was about something else. They're doing it all now strategically to go after Trump. It's not the Democrats. It is not the Democrats. This is a foreign intelligence operation against Trump. And it's funny to listen to the entitlement from these Israelis, like, no. Because I see people all the time, oh, no, you've got the power dynamics wrong here. America controls Israel, not the other way around. But you go read Israeli press, you follow Israeli news. I mean, they literally brag about how they control us, folks. Like, that's what's so hilarious. AIPAC brags about how they control our Congress. I mean, Trump used to talk about it on radio shows. He said, yeah, Israel controls our politics. It's like an open secret. So, yeah, they're sitting here publishing these stories like, yeah, you work for us. We have the blackmail on all of you. You will do our bidding. And if you don't, you will reap the consequences. And yet I still can't find America on the map in the Middle East. And I still can't find the Middle East anywhere in America. And yet somehow the Israelis believe they're entitled to just have the full force of our government and our military behind them. This is why a divorce is necessary from Israel. And this is why a decoupling entirely from the Middle East is the only answer. Now, meanwhile, crowds gather around aid trucks in Gaza as food shortages persist and more people going for aid are getting shot and killed. Senior IDF general admits to disagreements among top officials on Gaza approach. We've been telling you this for a long time, but it's now all out in the public. It's not so good. That's how you know it's bad, folks. Because there's fighting internally with military and diplomats in Israel. They're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we agree on what needs to be done here. Maybe we both have hatred for the Hamas, the Gazans, whatever. But at a certain point, you kind of realize you've gone too far. And I think that's the realization. But Netanyahu doesn't care. He's got the agenda. He wants his legacy to be that he conquered the Gaza Strip and gave it to Israel. That's all he cares about. The bloodshed, I guess what it does for Israel in the worldview, I guess he doesn't care or think about or assume he can whitewash it. Senior IDF general appears to admit disagreements among top military brass on approach in Gaza. Now, this is the Orthodox Jews. Senior Haredi leader threatens global struggle like never before over IDF draft. So they're trying to draft the Orthodox Jews now, which was never the policy until now. And I guess that's just because they're getting ready to force everybody into this war. Or maybe it's punishment because the Orthodox Jews haven't been so supportive of this war. But either way, that's going to take a major turn, and it appears that at least some groups over there, the Haredi and others, are saying, okay, you're going to try to do this to us, we're going to give you a little bit of a political problem too, and Netanyahu knows that. Meanwhile, in Iran executes a man accused of spying for Israel and another planning ISIS group sabotage. So you got to wonder how Iran let their guard down so much to get penetrated by all these Israeli spies and ISIS groups, which are just proxy groups of the CIA and Mossad and everything else. But they learned it the hard way. I mean, folks, you get into these stories. These spies were in the top level of they had access to the top level of Iranian intelligence, Iranian government, Iranian military. And just as, I mean, it was obvious at the time, but now it's official. It's like, well, gee, how was Israel able to do those precise strikes? Because their spies were so deep into the Iranian network that they literally could get their geolocation, and they shared it with the Israeli military, and that's how they did the precise strikes. So Iran is on it now, and they've executed quite a few people for spying. And Tom Cotton wants to remind you where he stands. He's one of the biggest Israel ball lickers there is, which is too bad because other than the Israel stuff, Tom Cotton is pretty good. But then he reminds you he works for a foreign country and then it just throws everything else out. European leaders should not reward Hamas with the prospect of recognizing a so-called Palestinian state. Oh, my gosh. Palestine was a state before Israel. That is a historic fact. And you can go find Bibles that were published in the early 1900s, and they have Palestine on the map, and there is no Israel. These were in the Bibles. The pressure should be put on Hamas until all of the hostages are returned and Hamas is completely defeated. Now, here's the problem that I think they're going to have with Hamas. Obviously, these people are willing to die. Okay? And it's we're not just talking about radical Islamic jihad, but specifically with Hamas. Obviously, these people are willing to die for the cause. More so than the Israelis. The Israelis don't want to die for the cause. They're not going in boots in the ground. They're not going into the tunnels. They're just leveling everything from above, preserving Israeli life. Hamas fighters are willing to die. And so I would say Hamas probably now looks at this and says, we're winning. We're winning because we might die, but now the whole world is going to turn against Israel. And in case you haven't noticed, folks, these two groups have nothing but hatred. They have nothing but hatred. They both just want death on the other side. That's all they want. They just want death and destruction against their enemy. They are filled with hate. And now you see it in American politics. It's really upsetting to see, but you see it in American politics as well. With people in media that I even like and respect, consider friends, but you see the hatred they have in their heart. And it's sad. It's really ugly. It's really nasty. It's really sad, but you see it. So, yeah, Hamas is probably sitting here like, well, yeah, hundreds of thousands of us are going to die. And who knows what else the IDF might do to us if they capture us. You know, they're raping people, everything else. And so it's just a disgusting. It's just, the whole thing is disgusting. That's why I don't want anything to do with any of them. That's why it's, we're all so sick of being involved. But, you know, Hamas is probably looking at this and saying, hey, you know, the whole world is turning against Israel. So they might kill us, but in the process, they're killing themselves. And I think that they've kind of had that realization now. So they don't really, turning over the hostages at this point, they're just like, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Because now the whole world is turning on Israel, and it doesn't even matter what we do. Because that's who everybody's watching, and that's who's getting all the support in America. So I don't know how this deal ends, but it looks like it ends with Israel taking the Gaza Strip at a minimum. They're gonna shave off part of Syria. They're gonna aim to take the West Bank, the Golan Heights. They're gonna continue to fight Lebanon and Jordan. In fact, I think Israel struck Lebanon today. It was Lebanon or Jordan. Israel strikes again a foreign country. But obviously, that's the goal, is to take all that land. And Netanyahu wants that to be his legacy. And I guess he can't even see into the future and realize the damage he's doing for Israel. And you know, there's not near enough appreciation. And maybe that's part of the problem that Americans are having in this transactional relationship. You know, if the Israelis and American Jews were on their knees every day thanking America, I mean, thanking us, you know, smooching us, licking our boots, then maybe it wouldn't be so bad with the anti-Semitism. But they're not. They're entitled. They're not thanking America. They're asking for more. They're saying it's never enough, and they're saying America's anti-Semitic now. It could be, if you believe, now I'm not saying I believe this, but if you take it at face value, if you believe Iran was a month away from getting a nuke, well then guess what? America likely just saved the entire nation of Israel. So if you really believe all of this stuff, and Iran was about to have a nuke and launch it to nuke Israel, then tell me why Netanyahu isn't kissing our ass. Tell me why American Jews that are loyal to Israel, Tell me why Israel isn't over here praising America, on its knees, begging America for help, praising America for saving its life. That should be the dynamic here. Not the other way around. Not Israelis telling us how much we owe them. Not Israelis telling us how great they are. Not Israelis and American Jews saying, oh, America's the problem and anti-Semitism is the problem and we need to censor speech and we need to monitor your activity and all this other stuff. No. If you believe all the propaganda, which I think it's all bull crap anyway, but let's take it at face value. If we destroyed the nuclear site and Iran was about to nuke Israel, then the United States of America just saved Israel. Literally just saved probably a million people in Israel. So where's the big thank you? You know? Where's the big parade celebrating America saving your ass? Where's the appreciation for all the money and the weapons and everything that you have gotten from us? And all we get is entitlement and arrogance and told that we owe more and that they're better than us? And then you're shocked when people are turned on Israel? You're shocked after everything you've done in the Gaza Strip? And you're sitting here stunned at why people have turned on you? You should be thanking us. Because if we believe your propaganda about Iran, then we just saved your ass. We just saved your entire country from getting nuked. And I don't see a big thank you parade. I don't see Israelis coming into America to help with flood disaster relief. We have disasters in this country. They never come here to help. Where's the big ceremony? Where is this big, massive ceremony thanking America for what they did destroying Iran's nuclear sites? Where is it? I don't see it. Americans fought and died with other white Christian Europeans and then gave you Israel, and now Americans just stopped Iran from nuking you, and where is the appreciation? Where is the thank you? Where is the gratitude? Should be on their knees praising us. But I guess when you're entitled and arrogant and superior as God's chosen people, I guess that's not really in the book, is it? By the way, here's General Flynn. This is the ultimate truth here in clip 12.
And I know that there's some machinations and there's got to be some big, big problems right now internal, and Netanyahu's dealing with it with the IDF. They're going to have to do some soul searching. And I mean immediate soul searching, because the 7th of October was a date, you know, that they still have not been able to. And there's an investigation going on. And I've already heard from some of the soldiers that were told to stand down in the exact hours. So something bad happened and it was an inside thing. I don't know. You know, again, that's a bombshell right there. So the internal situation in Israel has got to be done with a
hold it, hang on. Whoa. Hang on. You can't drop a bomb like that. Mike Flynn, your former head of DIA, first national security advisor, President Trump, a revered figure globally. You're saying your sources are telling you on the investigation that they're trying to slow down and slow walk over there because we're coming up on the second anniversary of it. You're saying that you're hearing there's testimony or documents or actual evidence that certain elements of the Israeli military were told to stand down? Because I know from people I know, this is a very contentious area, and it's going to be explosive. Are you hearing the same thing?
Steve, you can go back to interviews that I did like the next day and the following week.
That was on InfoWars, by the way. That interview he's talking about was on InfoWars.
Where I said something went wrong, because Steve, I have personally walked that border. I have been down at those areas, and I know the details of how the Israelis, one of the most secure borders in the world, how they do their operations. So I know that. So something broke down, and it wasn't because of mistakes. So that's number one. This internal machinations that are going on right now, what's going to have to happen? They're going to have to come to grips with this, because I'm going to tell you, the American people, they're getting tired of it. They're getting tired of this constant, you know, Israel, Israel, Israel. I mean, I'm the biggest fan. I have been to Israel many times. I have, you know, served alongside them. I have done things with them, certainly on the intelligence side. So I'm their biggest fan. But the American people are not. And the American people are so tired of all of the craziness and our involvement in these things.
You know, and here's another example. And General Flynn is right on here. But here's another example. Brian Mast puts this out, and he runs around Congress in an Israeli IDF uniform. He has Israeli flags everywhere, so he's one of them. And they're all making a big fuss over this Florida State deal where it's a little girl who gets into a tiff with a guy who has an IDF shirt on, which, by the way, you know, can you imagine if somebody had a Free Palestine shirt on or a Hamas shirt on and a small Jewish girl came up and was like, how dare you? You're a terrorist. And then, you know, the dynamic would be in her favor if you reversed those circumstances. But, oh, this little girl has a trouble with a guy having IDF. Oh, and now it's a national case. Anti-Semitism has no place in the United States. Yeah, if you don't like Israel killing kids, you know, you're an anti-Semite. Whether it's in the halls of Congress or on college campus, I stand with Jewish students at Florida State. We must never back down on this kind of hate. It was a verbal argument for 30 seconds at a gym in college, and we're making a federal case out of this? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is a non-issue. Students getting $100,000 in student loan debt and then looking at the future and feeling totally depressed and crushed by it is a real issue. Am I saying we do student loan forgiveness? No. But I'm saying that's a real issue. This is not. And yet this is all you get is the garbage. All right, now we're almost out of time here, and I teased this story. So let me just try to do this quickly. And there's going to be more. Allegations surrounding GOP's Corey Mills go from bad to worse. Corey Mills leaps into another scandal, this time with a five-figure price tag and eviction notice. Now, you may remember that from last month. How he owed a bunch of money on this place. Now, that is not going to be over yet. U.S. Representative Corey Mills won't be evicted from his D.C. penthouse. Well, that's odd. So why? Who paid that bill, by the way? Telling you, that story's not going to go away. There's going to be some more developments there. I'll leave it at that for now. But so here's the big one that they've been sitting on for a minute, and now they're going live. Miss United States accuses Representative Corey Mills of sextortion, accepting money bags. She's also published some texts between the two that don't look good. Representative Corey Mills accused of threatening to release nude videos of ex-girlfriend Lindsay Langston, former Miss United States. Miss United States filing restraining order against GOP Representative Corey Mills. Now, can you imagine, folks, how crazy this is? And again, I don't think that penthouse story is going away. Think Madison Cawthorn. But imagine you're a sitting member of Congress and you've got some issue with your ex-girlfriend because apparently he was dating a bunch of girls, and she's not the only one, by the way. And I've talked to some others that know this story well. Obviously, that's how I teased it was coming a month ago. But imagine you're a sitting member of Congress and you're trying to blackmail your ex-girlfriend over sharing of a nude video. How are you? What's your plan there, bud? You're going to leak a nude video of your ex-girlfriend as a sitting member of Congress, and you think that's a good look for you? So this is just the beginning of this story now. And it hasn't really gone well with them trying to put this deal out. And now the penthouse is still running. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, that does it for today. Oh, new South Park tonight, guys. What do you think we're going to see tonight?
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will.
And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. Goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.